Boxes and Baubles by Dan Puff. 1965. Severus is 5. The tree they get is small and scraggly. Severus is small and scraggly, too. Dad is in festive spirits. He kisses Mom while she cooks breakfast, and he ruffles Severus's hair. They load up into the car after and drive to the tree lot. Mom holds Severus's hand while Dad points out different trees. Dad is friendly. He asks which Severus likes, and Severus looks up at his mom before answering. They can't afford the bigger, nicer trees. Dad's face goes tight the way he does before yelling, but he doesn't yell. He pays for the small, scraggly tree and loads it into the car. He fusses at Mom under his breath when she offers to help. He's quiet on the way home. Mom and Severus are quiet, too. When they get home, Mom doesn't offer to help, and Dad doesn't ask for it. Severus hides in the kitchen and peeks around the doorframe to watch Dad bring it in and set it up. It fits right into the corner of the living room. There's not much space in the room at all, but the tree doesn't need much. Dad rallies himself once it's up.
"Come here, Lainey. Severus."
There's a box of multicolored, mismatched baubles. Most are dull, some are cracked. Severus likes the colors. The bright blue one with a long scratch, the silver one with most of its glitter scraped off, the cheery yellow one with faded spots. Severus can't reach very high, but he hangs his favorite baubles on lower branches. Mom and Dad fill in the rest of the tree, while carols play on the radio. When they're done, Dad lifts him up and lets Severus put the angel on top of the tree. Dad tickles Severus before putting him down. Severus flinches because he's not used to this. Dad's face falls, but Mom saves the day by grabbing Severus to tickle him in the familiar way she does. When Dad tries again, Severus laughs and squirms between them while they take turns. After, Severus sits by the tree and watches while Mom and Dad dance across the living room. Dad sings to Mom. He has a very nice voice. Mom says he plays the guitar, too, but Severus has never seen this.
"Your dad has music in his soul," Mom always says. "That's why I fell in love with him."
Dad sings and smiles and laughs, and when they're done, he lifts Mom off her feet and spins her around. Mom giggles. It's a nice sound. Severus smiles so big, his face hurts after a while. He can't remember having had such a nice day. Christmas Day isn't as nice. Dad doesn't sing or smile. He mutters about money under his breath as Mom and Severus unwrap their gifts. Severus likes his blocks just fine. He doesn't have many toys, and these are new. He even gets his own Christmas bauble, shiny and green. He sits on his knees and carefully selects a branch to hang it on. Mom runs upstairs to put on her new dress. Dad storms out of the house and slams the door before she comes back down. Mom looks really sad. Her hands smooth down the front of her new blue dress.
"You're pretty, Mummy," Severus says.
Mom smiles weakly. 1973. The Evans try to donate a tree to the Snapes, but Dad's too proud and slams the door in their faces. Severus keeps his green bauble in his bedroom in a drawer. If he hangs it, Dad might break it, so he brings it out every night instead. Lily invites Severus to help decorate their tree. Petunia pretends he doesn't exist, but Mr. and Mrs. Evans are as kind as ever. They make hot cocoa and give Severus a candy cane to bring home. He hides it in his pocket to sneak past Dad and eats it alone in bed that night. Lily meets him at the park on Christmas Eve to give him his present. He tries to refuse, as he has nothing for her, but Lily insists. Severus's face heats when he unwraps his new scarf and gloves. They're gray and black striped. Warm. Severus is embarrassed to be given gifts without giving them, more so because he's so grateful. Drops the wrapper right to the ground and immediately puts them on. He's always so cold. His coat is old and threadbare. Everything's too thin and ratty and holy to be suitable for winter, but the gloves and the scarf go a long way in soothing his chilled bones. Lily brightens when Severus shivers less, and Severus loves and hates her in equal measure. Before they part, Lily thrusts another small package into his hands from her parents. Inside is a brand new bauble, dark blue with a white snowflake. On Christmas Day, Severus sits in his room and hums carols under his breath to drown out Dad's shouting and Mom's sobbing. He opens the drawer by his bed and takes out his two baubles. He admires their shine in the sunlight. 1978. Regulus brings a short Christmas tree to Severus's flat. Short, but thick and fluffy and beautiful. It's unexpected. Severus forgets the holiday season is here until he visits Diagon Alley. He has little care for Christmas. So little care has he, and so taken aback is he, that he snaps at Regulus, "What on earth is that for?" Regulus's face falls. Severus mentally curses himself, more so when Regulus squares his shoulders and the warmth in his expression turns cool and sharp. "Nothing of import," Regulus says with a casual shrug. That cool indifference is so like a black, so like the other purebloods Severus has always admired and wanted to be. He does not like to see it in Regulus. With a steady hand, Severus directs the tree to levitate into the cramped flat and sits it in front of his least favorite bookshelf. Regulus watches him warily. At 17, he doesn't fidget as much as he once did, though Severus can see how much he would like to. Severus doesn't know how to apologize, so he kisses Regulus long and sweetly instead, until the wariness and hurt melt away, and Regulus is soft and warm in his arms. Christmas Day, Severus is too busy to celebrate long. When he does celebrate, it's early in the morning and alone. He sits in front of his tree and eats a slice of fruitcake that isn't nearly as good as his mum's. He hums a carol beneath his breath. And as the sun rises and begins to peer into his flat, the light catches on the tree's baubles. He and Regulus hung them late at night, long after making love. Fairy lights and tinsel, and three shiny baubles. A green one, a blue one, a silver one. 1986. Phileas races down the corridor, directing a tree that is 10 times his size into the great hall. Masterful spellcaster that he is, the tree still wobbles unwieldily midair. Severus pauses as Phileas and the tree pass him by. Minerva follows briskly behind, directing her own tree, while keeping an eye on Phileas's. The trees are always obnoxiously large and decorated splendidly. Severus knows when he returns to the great hall this evening, they'll be done up in red ribbons and bejeweled with sparkling, glimmering baubles. There will be thick, lush garland and sprigs of holly and bouquets of poinsettias. Severus also expects mistletoe to mysteriously appear, though whether it is unruly students or a more unruly headmaster, Severus doesn't know. If he's lucky, one of the elves will spike his eggnog. Severus strides down the corridor alone, but stops when a familiar voice calls his name. Severus sighs, then turns to lift an inquiring brow at the headmaster.
"You are more than welcome to join the decorating party, Severus," Albus says, both kindly and chidingly.
If there is any spark of longing in Severus, it is quickly stomped out by the cold, harsh boot of Christmas's past.
"I think not, headmaster," Severus replies, as respectfully as possible. "There is work to be done, and I've little time for such frivolity."
The light that always lives and breathes in Albus's face dims. Severus likes the sad, pitying look much less than the mischief. Severus nods sharply and turns to leave. Albus's eyes follow him. Christmas Day arrives, and Severus decides to enjoy it in his rooms as long as he can. There's no greenery, no shine or sparkle, no nod to the season at all in his quarters. None, except the small pile of merrily wrapped gifts by his armchair. Severus sighs heavily and first enjoys a long, hot shower, followed by a mug of hot, spiced tea. His new book, a murder mystery from a second-hand store, waits patiently on the end table. Severus's hand twitches towards it. Little point in delaying the inevitable. Severus summons his gifts with a brief thought of levitating them right into the lit hearth. He's glad he doesn't when his first gift is a bottle of scotch from Minerva. Then, a box of chocolates from Phileas. A puzzle book from Septima. A bauble from Albus. Severus holds it up into the light. It's a gaudy thing, bubblegum pink with repeating candy cane images all around. He stares at it for a long time. Then, very carefully, he rises from his chair, goes into his bedroom. He pulls a small box from the bottom of his wardrobe and carefully places the new bauble in among the others. He gives each a quick glance before closing the box, then the wardrobe. 1998. A small tree finds its way into Severus's room at St. Mungo's. He is distinctly unimpressed. The healers refuse to say where it came from. Severus only uncovers the culprit when Harry Potter walks into the room with a small box tucked under one arm. Severus is scolding the healer in training about mysterious plants when Potter burns bright red and averts his eyes.
"Oh, good," the healer in training says. "I'll leave you to your visitor."
"Do not," Severus begins, but the trainee darts out of the room as Potter nervously shuffles forward. "There are better charities to devote your time and energies to than me, Mr. Potter." Potter smiles sheepishly.
"Everyone can use a bit of Christmas cheer. Even, or especially, the Grinch." Because he, unfortunately, knows this reference, Severus narrows his eyes, and Potter outright laughs. He sets his box on the edge of Severus's bed and opens it.
"Where," Severus demands tightly, "did you get those?"
Potter shrugs. "Spin his end. I poked around a bit the last time you asked for books." It's a pitiful collection. 4 shiny baubles. Green, blue, silver, and pink. Severus nearly flings them across the room one by one. But he's lucky to be able to sit up these days, and most of his energy was wasted on haranguing the hospital staff.
"These are nice," Potter says. "I like the blue one."
Severus says nothing. Potter fiddles with the box and the baubles, and eventually he gets to work. Silver and gold tinsel cover the tree, not nearly as artfully done as Regulus once had. Potter has no eye for design whatsoever. And rather than spacing out the baubles, he leaves them clustered in the middle of the back of the tree, where Severus can see them. He thinks of many things he wants to say to Potter in this time. None of them kind. His throat is too tight for any of them to come out. He dismisses Potter with a sharp nod. He doesn't know what Potter sees in his face, only that he sees something. Potter blinks in surprise, then gives a small smile before he leaves. On Christmas Day, the healer feeds him his daily potions and checks the wound on his neck. It's been healing, slowly, but is making plenty of progress if the healers are to be believed. Hospital staff comes in to sing carols and deliver warm cider he can safely drink. He falls asleep shortly after lunch and misses Potter's visit altogether. The only evidence is a small gift wrapped in shiny red paper. The bauble inside is also shiny and red, with a cartoon Grinch frowning on its face. A strange noise is pulled from his throat. Severus is surprised to realize it's a laugh. 2005. Severus is 45. The tree they get is tall and fluffy. Severus is tall, but he will never be fluffy. Harry is in festive spirits. He tangles his fingers in Severus's hair and kisses him soundly in the middle of the tree lot. When he breaks away, his cheeks are flushed. Severus fears his own might be as well. The way Harry grins at him, well, pink cheeks are a small price to pay for such a smile. Apparition might damage the tree, and it won't fit through a flue. They've no authorized portkey, and neither mentions a broomstick. It feels more magical, loading the tree atop the old, faded black rental car. Harry blasts the radio and sings loudly, and off-key, to popular holiday tunes. Once home, they carry the tree in together. Harry backs his way into the cottage with the top of the tree, while Severus shuffles after him with the rear. Magical transportation had been off the table, but levitating the tree inside had not been. Harry laughs until his ribs hurt when he realizes, and even Severus can't bite back his grin of amusement. It hurts his cheeks. The tree is too tall for their sitting room, and the top of it bends where it hits the ceiling. Harry sticks the star to its top with magic. Severus spells the white fairy lights all around it. The baubles, they hang by hand. Five that are Severus's. From his mum, and Lily, and Regulus, and Albus, and Harry. Two are Harry's, from a Hogsmeade trip, from his godson. Five that they share, from each year they've been together. Gold and silver stripes. Green with gold stars, red with silver polka dots, white with a gingerbread man, black with a pale blue stag and doe. 12 is not many, so Harry fills in the gaps with candy canes. When he's done, he joins Severus's side to admire their handiwork. Severus wraps an arm around Harry's shoulders and tugs him nearer, presses a kiss into his wild mane. It's been a nice day. Severus has had many of those with Harry, and he treasures every one. On Christmas Day, Severus unwraps a new bauble. They chose the concept together, but Harry insisted on customizing it as a surprise. Severus knew to expect a miniature snow globe, and he has to squint to make out the figures inside. A tiny Harry and Severus dance in the snow outside of their cottage. Severus smiles. "You have to shake it," Harry says quietly. Severus huffs, but Harry's quite correct. Little point in a snow globe bauble if one doesn't shake it. Carefully, Severus shakes the bauble. White flurries dance around the dancing pair. Severus nearly misses it when the miniature Harry sinks down to one knee. Severus's heart skips when the miniature Harry presents Severus with an object in his mittened hands. The real Harry's eyes are wide behind his spectacles, and he nervously rubs his mouth with one hand. When Severus blinks at him, Harry slides off the couch, down to one knee, amid discarded wrapping paper. He places a small box, wrapped in green paper and red ribbon, on Severus's knee.
"Will you..." Harry begins.
"Yes," Severus responds, gruffly.
Harry launches himself into Severus's arms for giddy kisses he laughs between. Severus clings to his lips and feeds him the swell of emotions that he fears might have burst out of him in tears or laughter, were it not for those kisses. The bauble falls from Severus's hand onto the cushion beside them. The box falls to the floor and is kicked beneath the couch in their exuberance. Later that night, when they announce their engagement over dinner with the Weasleys. They'll realize they forgot about the ring entirely. Severus will glare indignantly, and Harry will grin sheepishly as the Weasleys cackle around them. They will come home and crawl on hands and knees until they retrieve the box. And though Severus will love the shiny platinum ring, it was never the gift itself that mattered, but the love behind it.